Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
All right, let's get this thing started, man. Yes, yes, yes. We back. Bonus episode. Sound like the nigga in Space Jam. And we got a special one today, man. We got a real special one.
We do.
I'm Marlon.
I'm Norm.
I'm Alicia.
And welcome back to the Extra Gravy. And we are joined by none other than writer, creator, executive blood clot producer. All right. Director, jack of all trades, master of some. We got Sasha Lee Henry in the building.
Woo! Sasha
How you doing? How you doing? How you feeling?
Amazing. It was a great intro. I'm really happy to be here.
Thank you for being here. Yeah, man. You got something special dropping on Friday.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well,
yes,
today. Yes. This will be up on Friday, so today.
Oh, yeah. So, the first three episodes of my series, Bria Mac Gets a Life.
Yeah.
Airing on Crave.
Years in the making.
Let's
just give it up for Emma.
Come on now.
Sticking through it. Finishing things we start.
Yeah, man.
This is what we practice here. All right? Now, you've been working on this for years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You got this show with one scene.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
I released a short film called Bitches Love Brunch, and
another banger, by the way. Shout out to Corinna. Shout out to Sashay.
And my EP, like my now EP, Mark Montefiore, saw it and reached out to me and my creative producer. And were like, "Are you working on anything else?" And I had just come back from a summer in LA where I was like, "Let's see what's happening in LA. Everybody's always running down LA when you work in the film industry here." And so I just went out to explore, and I'd gone to some panel. And the guy was like, "What's stopping everybody from like moving forward?" And then I was like, "I have a scene idea, but like I don't have the whole show concept yet. Like, do I need to know all the episodes and everything before I go?" And he was like, "No, that's something that's kind of been born out of like the Netflix boom, because I think at one point that's something that they asked for." He's like, "But if you have an opportunity to pitch what you have, and like if they like it, they'll just ask you for more."
Wow.
Yeah. And so fast forward 4 months later from that trip, we had the opportunity to pitch, and I was like, "Fuck it, let's take the call." And I'm just gonna pitch this scene idea that I had that had been like percolating for a while. And then I pitched what becomes the fantasy departure in episode 2. Won't spoil it for you, but it's very high stakes towards the end of the episode. And yeah, on the call, and I remember like I was in Thailand, and my creative producer was in Japan, and I think Mark was in London, and it was like this kind of scratchy conference call. But I had like, I was pitching it, and then they laughed out loud, and I was like, "Say less."
Nice. That's what you want when you're pitching comedy. Yeah, that's exactly what you want. That's exactly. Amazing.
Yeah. And then they were like, "Do you have any more?" And I was like, yeah, but it's the holidays, you know, because it was the middle of December. I was like, "Why don't we pick it back up in the new year?"
Because everything's closing down.
Yeah. And then I went and wrote more.
Nice.
Because you had this one.
In your bag during Christmas. Everyone's like, "Call me eat." I gotta write this down. That's crazy.
So when you're pitching, you don't have to actually have a scene filmed. You could just have it like written down.
Yeah. Like there's different stages and I guess different versions of the pitching experience, because there's like pitching to a network, which you want to be like more ready for. And it also depends on like who you are in the industry. Like Martin Scorsese could just talk to a studio head and be like, "Here's a thing." And
it
go off, but it's because it's Martin Scorsese. Whereas me, like my name is not necessarily known at the time, that kind of thing. If you're going into a network, you want something more robust. Mm-hmm. But I mean, maybe even if you're going to a production company, you probably want more, but
like a treatment, a deck, something like that. Yeah.
They were interested. They liked Bitches of Brunch and were asking if we were going to do more of that. And we weren't. And I was like, "Let's just take the call and then pitch them this thing." And instead, just decided to see. I mean, I was already broken in Thailand, so like, what was?
I mean, are you ever broke in Thailand?
Well, that's why.
Money is lost. I was broke here,
and that's why I went to Thailand.
Makes sense. So
to find yourself, of course.
Eat for love. When was this?
This was fall of 2018, so November will be 5 years since I initially pitched it. Wow. No, December will be 5 years, yeah.
Wow.
It's been 5 years.
And I'm guessing the COVID had something to do with that.
Possibly. I mean, I'm sure, but we were still, like, we had been in development for at least a solid year before COVID.
Okay. Mm.
And it was, like, option for 3 years, and I had never, like, I'm very much coming from the indie filmmaking side of things, so I didn't know what to expect as to what was long or short. And we were still pretty early in the development term. I was still writing scripts and getting paid for drafts. So I don't know if that maybe slowed things. Probably. I'm sure it did.
But. So you're getting paid leading up to before it even start, like, is out.
Yeah, when you're in development, but it's not like a retainer or any kind of monthly thing. You get paid, like, you know, there's a fee according to the WGC for the draft in development.
Okay.
And like when you deliver the outline, you get 10%. The first draft, you get 50%. So that kind of thing. So I was very much still working.
I know a lot of people who just pitch.
Yeah.
And like, we'll say 80% of the time, it doesn't go all the way.
Yeah.
And they're still making bread.
Yeah.
Like making bread for something that never sees the light of day, which I find so interesting.
You can still get paid to just pitch?
Your IP is a lot, man. Yeah. People don't understand. Like, this is why a lot of seasoned people will always preaching to the youth, keep your IP, your IP, because you never know where you can like repurpose it or put it in a different place. Like, there's a lot that goes into it, but now you got Bria Mack, Get to Life, October 13th on Crave.
Yes, yes, yes.
Bria Mack's a show about a 25-year-old Jamaican girl, Canadian girl, I guess.
Yes.
And she's being rushed into life, essentially. Just a little bit more than she wants to be.
Yeah, exactly.
She has to grow up too quick, essentially.
She feels like she's an overachiever type A. She's like, you know, I did my time. I'm going to chill a little bit.
Yeah.
But that doesn't work for her mom.
Doesn't work in a Jamaican household, period.
Of course not.
No.
And I'm guessing you've experienced this yourself.
You know what? Funny enough, like, not in as explicit a way as Bria. Like, the thing is, my dad I tell him, he's a professional dreamer. Like, he's a serial entrepreneur. Mm. He's had everything from, like, you know, he always jokes, you know, along me, I sell Kiss Scott, Dong, and I Kings. Like, him and his brother, like, from those days till now, has had, like, you know, mortgage broken company, used car company,
construction,
like,
paintings at flea markets.
He had a
That's my dad.
Do we have the same dad?
Maybe.
Hey, we're in Jamaica. You never know.
Hey, mom.
He came home very late at night. I don't know what he was doing.
So there was never, like, it wasn't like you can't go after things or whatever. It's like, way off of work and take care of yourself.
Moscow
like,
work.
Yeah. There's no like, while you're pursuing the thing, like, you got to figure something out. And not even to like help with household responsibilities, but even just to take care of yourself.
Just to be active.
Yeah. And
have some autonomy. Like,
yeah.
Even though you're in the house, so there's really no autonomy. But
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like, you still have to have things for yourself and be able to move around.
The biggest beef my sister and my parents always had is they would leave in the morning time, especially during summer. They'd leave in the morning time. She's watching TV.
Come home.
She's watching TV.
Oh, my gosh.
It's almost unspoken at this point in time. Like, even if you hear the door open, you have to jump up and look like you were doing something.
Of course. Like, I used to put the broom beside the couch. I hear that door. I'm Shawshank Redemption. I do
pretend
not play around.
Pretend you're cleaning.
Exactly.
Pretend you're cooking.
100%.
I'm dusting the blinds and shit.
Yeah, something.
Makes no sense. So this show, we're going to focus on episode 3. We got to watch a sneak peek at episode 3.
Yeah.
And wow. for Canadian TV, I was like, I clutched my pearls. I was like, can she do this? Is this allowed? First of all, my nigga Femi's in there.
Yeah. No. Come on, man. Yeah. Now I got visions of Femi in my head.
No. Now I know what Femi's penis looks like.
No, I did not ask
for this.
There's a very important thing. I need to go on record. I promised him that we would.
Yes, you had to.
This is super important. The public must know.
I know this was in his contract. I knew it.
That is not Femi's penis. I have, like, it's.
He's like, it's a gravy exclusive.
That
is not Femi's dick.
This guy, I was like, he had to put it in the contract.
That needs to be like the title or something. Not Femi's dick.
The funny part was when, because like just in fairness or whatever, you had the option. Do you want to pick the dick that would represent yours? Femi's never declined an opportunity so fast. Like, he's like, nah, I'm good.
This is the greatest story I've ever heard in my life. I can't wait to see him.
Imagine. He's like, but whichever ones you do choose, please run it by me first.
I'll nod or I'll shake my head.
Yeah. We had to audition them. We had to audition
You
the
had
dicks.
To audition How the dicks?
Was that? Yeah. We had to audition
Dick auditions? So where was my agent?
Were you looking for so did you have like calling all Nigerians? Like looking for Nigerian dicks.
Yeah. We need some girthy motherfuckers.
So this started as like, first we were in a production meeting. It was always going to be some kind of dating game type departure that we had planned. But like we were talking about how we actually going to execute these things. Mm-hmm. And then my EP at the time said like, what if they were like dressed as dicks and I heard like showing their dick. Mm-hmm. And it was a real like, who's on first type thing. And then suddenly we had like an ACTRA meeting and an intimacy coordinator. And it was like, oh, like, I feel like everyone at some point thought, well, we're not going to be able to do this. Like, this is a funny idea. And then it just like, then there were three men in robes and we were given very specific instructions from ACTRA and like to make sure everything was above board. But first they put out a call for like people who were open to being nude and like so that they wouldn't see their faces, that kind of stuff. And then we had to narrow it down from 15. Like that was like, we got options.
Are they in a prison line? What's going on?
I mean, yeah, that's really what I'm imagining. Is.
Because when I know when I'm on set for like commercials, for example, and we gotta do wardrobe. They just line us up in front of the clients. Well, and then they just critique, like, oh, I don't know.
Well, this was the worst part. So it was in the time when we were filming Bria, we were in the office space, and it was like this old insurance building, and we just have found like a tech room, and they were like, oh, we'll just use this. But it was like kind of old, and one of the lights was like flickering type of vibe.
Oh, my God. It was like very underground, it was like
very. Very casting couch vibes.
Casting couch, yeah. That's what I was thinking.
Was it a long or a short process? Or maybe a chubby process. I don't know.
And the worst part is like, so they got to put on robes. And the thing is like, we're here just to see their dicks. So they come in and there's like a barrier of like shelves that used to hold IT stuff. So they have to go out, like they come in, they have to walk around that, come in front of us, myself, our one male EP.
Come in front of you. Oh, wait, sorry. Okay. Oh, I was like, this is going crazy.
I heard Cardinal Official in my head go, "Loose, stop." But they had to stand in front of us. And then, but none of us knew what to say because any conversation would just be fake.
How many people are in the room?
There's four of us. Myself, Kelly Five Marshall, who was the director of that episode.
Big up, Kelly. Big Kelly.
Tamar Bird, who was the producer on it, and then Mark was the EP. We needed male, like another male person in there. And so he almost was like, no, I'm not coming in tomorrow. I was like, no, you need to. And you so
have to. So like, legally, was he in the room or did he have to look?
No, he had to look. Like, we all had to look, and they came and they opened their robes.
This is amazing.
And just opened them and turned from side to side and then closed them.
Were any of them shrinking as it was out? Because I would have been shrinking. The nerves would have killed
just
me.
Just Marlon in the corner like, come on. You're a shower.
Come on, buddy.
Come on, you're a grower, not a shower.
After the first person went, because there's nothing for us to ask them, that would be Tamar. Like, Tamar was like, great job. I mean, like, it looks great. I mean,
thank you.
We just had to leave. And it's such a long walk for them to go around the shelving unit before we can even say anything. We're not debriefing. Like, we're just going to be like, all right, are these good type of thing? So, very awkward.
It was very awkward.
Were there any that impressed you too much?
No. I mean, I really wish they were all relatively flaccid, which is fair. That makes sense. That's what the role called for. It just... Yeah, it no.
So
because they also still had on shoes, so like it's like
it's so awkward. A robe,
had on
shoes,
had on Tim's and a baby blue do rag, and then
did anybody have a hat?
No,
on?
The baby blue dooey,
with the Timbos and the softy.
What?
Crazy.
What in the flaccid Femi is going on here?
Oh my gosh, flaccid Femi. Yeah.
There are so many times in shooting the show, I was literally like, this is ridiculous.
Did you guys know anybody who came through?
Oh no.
I didn't.
Malcolm?
Shut up.
Uncle? That's
crazy. I didn't know anyone, but Kelly did know somebody.
Oh, wow.
Did she recognize them by the face or
the That's a good question. I actually don't know at what point.
She's like, hold on.
She's like, wait
turn
a minute.
Turn that bump real quick. Hold on. Is that a birthmark? I know
Mike?
This nigga. I haven't seen you in
ages. I'm familiar with this. Yo.
Oh,
that's so
don't worry, he does great work. He's
it's been so long. That's crazy. Oh, man. All right, so that's not Femi's penis. We got to put that out there. That's my dog.
Yeah.
Big up Femi Lawson.
Yeah.
It's not Femi's penis.
He wasn't doing that. Got it.
And for a second, it jump scared me because...
That's a jump
scare. No, because the other two were like right away, right? Mm-hmm. And then she just kind of talks a bit and he's showing his forearms. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm like, Femi's not going to show his dick.
Yeah.
And then I showed her, I'm like, oh! I'm like, oh, shit.
You were worried that you seen your friend's dick for no reason.
I audibly screamed in my house alone. It was crazy. All right.
Oh, my God. My
the forearms, though. That's just funny, man.
Now, there are very creative things done with this show that... have been done before, but I feel like mostly in just the animated space. Like,
this
show reminded me of Family Guy for black people.
Oh my God.
So, like,
such a high compliment.
There's like, there's these tangents that these creative little, like, mind things that she does where, like, and I love the nigga Jiminy Cricket.
Jiminy Cricket, yeah.
I love that character.
Yeah.
And there's just so many times where you guys, I can't imagine how fun it was to think of these little side things, these side thoughts. Yeah. How did you guys decide which thoughts were worthy of that?
That was a real question. That was like a real thing we were constantly questioning just because like, it's really, because the show is so referential, wherever there's an opportunity to have a reference, it could be a jumping off
point. Exactly.
But then if we do that too often, it loses its impact.
Yeah.
And so it really, what we narrowed it down to, it really had to be Bria was in a moment or a context where she either really couldn't say how she needed to feel. We could feel that we got to a peak like that. Or, right, that if they were in a sidebar, she needed to release some kind of emotion or something to express the thing.
It's usually anger.
Yeah.
It's usually anger, especially with the microaggression she faces at work and things like that. It's usually... something annoying that gets to her and then she just goes somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like her escape.
Yeah, totally. That's what it was supposed to be like. Like, where can we go? Because, I mean, we've seen microaggression and stuff like that. It's shitty for me to watch a black woman's hair get touched and, like, the fake stupid HR meeting where they're not going to do anything about it, right? Like, so if I'm going to show that and show what that feels like, how can we give, like, agency back to the black women in that situation or the marginalized people that would, like, resonate, that those kind of things, experiences resonate with, and let us have the last laugh about it? And, like, black attack and escaping to those places gives us that opportunity where, like, they are, you know, queens of the castle. Anything we want to do and, like, play with in this world can happen.
Nice. Yeah. And I noticed that this episode specifically, it's almost like you were letting the allies be seen.
Yes.
You got the white man who can cook jerk chicken, who does season the food.
Yes.
And then you have the white guy at work that at first seems like an ally.
Yeah.
And then you find out he hates Jordans.
Like, jokes.
He's like, too uppity. You're not.
Uppity,
you're different.
The real
okey-doke. Oh, man. That would make me niggify things in my life.
So fast.
Times 10.
So fast.
Like, I'd overcompensate.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's going to be like a growing thing for Bria throughout this, like, the life of the series, too, is like, when you can, like, I've had this feeling, right, where you can really get along with certain, like, white people or people that are not of your culture, and then, like, all of a sudden you're just like, Why are you all laughing so loud at what I said?
Dave Chappelle.
It was like, I watched that movie American Fiction, which I really loved, had great elements, but watching it in a theater full of white people.
Scary.
There are certain jokes that you're just like, all right, it's funny. It's not that funny. Like, are you paying attention to what's happening type of thing?
Yeah.
And like trying to oscillate between like, she's just being who she is, but what does that look like? You know, when she's with these different groups and how does she change herself
and navigate it? Yeah.
It was also almost like that Jordan, that Key and Peele skit where like Obama has his translator.
I saw moments of that.
I'm like, she's kind of like
her
translator.
You guys are getting all the references. This is awesome. Yeah. Black Attack is like a mix of the Hormone Monster from Big Mouth.
That's exactly. I feel like that's Big Mouth, Hormone Monster personified.
The angry translator, like mashed into one.
That's exactly.
And I love Family Guy. Like, to me, those, like, that show is so funny because of the way it just like whips to the thing, or like off of like the heels of one word that connects, you'll just end up in this other thing where they're like cutting open a vault with someone's chin, like on some guy, and you're like,
Ted
what's
Danson.
Happening? Yeah, exactly.
Ted Danson, big ass chin.
Fresh Off the Boat used to do that a lot too.
With
Eddie Huang there.
Oh yeah?
They would always do these cutaways to like scenarios that he would bring up in the story, or like Shaquille O'Neal. O'Neal's shoe, and it just goes to his shoe. It's just really cool.
I love it. I feel like, and especially the thank you for getting a mom that really speaks Patois.
Thank you.
I understand she had to water it down in certain parts. I completely get it.
Not judging, but you understand.
You can still hear the authenticity. You can still hear the Dutch pot. You know what I mean? I love that. And like, you've worked on small budget stuff. You've worked on big budget stuff. What's more rewarding?
I mean, I still don't think I've worked on big enough budget stuff.
Not yet.
Mm-hmm. But I think it's really tough because I think with being the showrunner on, this is probably the biggest budget project thing, and being the showrunner, I got to help set the tone. Mm. I think it's really, with smaller budgets, it's really tough because truthfully, there's some things that money can just fix.
Yeah.
And problems it can alleviate. But the passion and grit and effort that shows up in absence of that money is like, it's heartwarming, and it's the thing that inspires you to keep going even if you're not getting paid. And I will say, like, for this being a network show or whatever, a lot of that ethos and that energy from the people we worked with was still present. So I feel really lucky / spoiled. Like, I'm nervous to go to like another set run by someone I don't know, because I know it's not always like that. I remember from my PA days, and now I feel like we've set a standard that we all like and want to be a part of, but I'm like,
It's hard to meet for everybody.
Yes.
Especially when you're talking outside of your culture.
Yeah.
Because realistically, majority sets that will have that same spirit are going to be have to run by black women. That's few and far between, especially really in this industry.
I mean, there's three, I think, to my knowledge, there's only three black female showrunners in Canada. And one time I was in Banff in June. One of the other ones is Marsha Green, and she was in the room too, and we realized that, and I was like, damn, Marsha, we can't go home on the same flight. Like, if something happened, like,
we got down to one.
So yeah, you're right. I think like the leadership does make a difference in how those environments can feel. And like, I will say, like, credit to all of the, like, you know, non-black and white people that we were collaborating with. I mean, some of the actors who play the woke allies, who they were just so down to like let themselves be, you know, the joke of it, and like knowing
white people
kind
love
of the
that.
Thing. They really,
white people,
they really
a little too much. It's kind of
no, that happened. There was so in episode 5, there is like only a snippet of it made it in the episode, but Cheryl, the character Cheryl, played by Shannon Jardine, I believe her last name is, she was amazing, and she ends up like improvising. There's like a musical beat there, and then she's like, oh, I tried some lyrics you want, and it was like she improvised it and like said the lyrics, and it was like supposed to be about like an ignorant woman who had gone to the islands, and she was like, I don't know, she talked about skunk and like smelling the weed and and I'm not kidding you, every single, from the camera people to the sound person to the BG, tears.
Just
and
dying.
It was like, Shannon, you did this voluntarily. Like, this isn't even what we scripted. Like, you really did this.
But that's when you find a lot of those magic moments, right? Is when you go off script and just let the feeling run what's going on.
Yeah. How much of the crew was black, and how much say did you have in hiring the people behind the scenes?
I think I had a significant amount of say. I feel a lot of mutual respect between like myself and I think, you know, the reality is we were going into production on the other side of the racial reckoning. So I think even if there were certain things people wanted to rebut, and I love typing up a quick dissertation as to why you can't tell me no for certain things. So the truth is, like, I think there was a sincere interest and wanting, you know, to better representation even before. Mm-hmm. But I think on the other side of the racial reckoning, like, it was hard for people to come back when I'm like, well, no, there needs to be at least this many people that we're also considering that have BIPOC representation or something. And like, I mean, and in doing that and just kind of going with the people who were the best for the job, genuinely, we did end up with a lot of like female HODs, BIPOC HODs. And like, you know, but there was still, obviously there was white people, other people, people of color on there. And I would say, like, percentage-wise, I don't actually know, but I know it was very diverse. It was quite mixed. Like I said, a lot of the leadership positions were women of color, pardon me. So naturally, you know, I think...
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Our camera, like, op assist team was, like, all women who, like, rode, came to work on motorcycles every day. Like, it was cool just to be a part of that and to know that we were making something that we all felt was good, too.
Yeah.
Because sometimes those two things don't come together.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes I'm really happy that you've been able to have, like, such a big say, you know?
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I think, like... And sometimes it's tough because it really does come at a cost sometimes to prioritize that kind of representation. Like, you know, when it came to hair and things like that, like the person I had in mind and trusted the most and knew could do the job has a ton of experience outside of the union, but is relatively new in the union.
Yeah.
But they are who I believe in, like, I really had to be like you know, and the union has their own stipulations about like process for hiring and all of that stuff, which I totally respect. But I had to be very frank that like, it is not the show's fault that we've like let it slide that people don't have to be trained on 4C hair for this long.
Yeah.
So that being said, we're not going to suffer because of those things.
Yeah.
And listen, someone non-black can take the position, but a portfolio won't suffice. I remember sending this email. I said they need to be able to lay a lace front live in front of me and redo two of the braids in my head.
And do the electric slide.
And I remember being like, it might seem like unfair testing, but like there's too many times where we've gone off lookbooks or just the person saying they could do it
and seeing black characters
end up in tears because they know they look ridiculous and don't feel like they have the authority to be able
with the makeup too.
Yeah, with the makeup too. So
3/4 of America's Next Top Model.
Yeah. So it was super important. There was key roles where like I think everyone understood why it wasn't a non-negotiable for me, and the rest was just making sure that there was enough people of color being considered, period, that they just had the chance, and naturally who was going to, like, the best person was going to be the best
person. Everybody was moisturized. Everyone had proper lineups. The hair was laid.
Yeah.
Shit was not looking Ricky. It wasn't a Tyler Perry production.
Yes.
Which is troubling, considering everybody's black on that set, too. So I was like, I don't know. It's crazy. But this is, like, I think it's a groundbreaking show for Canada.
Thank you.
It's a groundbreaking show, not only for Canada, but for Jamaicans.
Yeah.
I feel like for Jamaicans, we have so much talent, so much charisma, but we never have the proper infrastructure to show it to the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the few times we do, you get a Bob Marley, a Sean Paul, a Monte Killer. So it's like when we do get those rare moments where it's a proper product, it's put out in the correct way, everything's done well. I'm proud of you. I'm really proud of you. And I'm proud of this project. It's great.
For sure.
Yeah, because you're repping the island properly. Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's... all Jamaicans ever want in the film industry.
Yes,
it just never happens.
Never
Spike
happens.
Was in New York and got a Trinidadian.
What was with that? That was, I think like I have that movie. I have almost a vendetta against that because she's, otherwise the movie was so fire.
She got it. She
she's got to have it.
There she's got to have it. That's the one that I'm thinking about.
There was another one, Brooklyn, EP'd, where it was like same thing, Brooklyn, and like I'm pretty sure this man's from Grenada. Why are we saying he's Jamaican? And
Trini woman off top. She's saying Bumbleclot and all this stuff. I'm like,
it sounds a little awkward.
You can hear when it's not like organic to their mom. And I almost didn't because like I wrote Marie, the mom, as a North American, like, you know, because some people come at a certain age and they'll lose their accent. I was like, let's go with that because. And then and the network really wanted, like, they really wanted to lean into the Jamaican elements. I was like, y'all got Jamaican performers that can do it? Because you, it seems that you don't because we keep seeing these, like, poor representations of it. Mm-hmm. And I said, like, I think we did the sides. I said, we'll send out sides. I'll put in, like, one or two lines of patois. And if they can nail that, then, like, yeah, we're gangbusters. And if not, she needs to be North American then. Yeah. Because I would rather keep something that blends with the story, then try to go for that. And it just wasn't going to happen with any other accent. And then Leslie was the only person. Another, there was a couple other people that could have done the accent. But one of the funny things is black women don't age. Like, so by the time, there are some
they
people who were the right age, but like,
they don't look it.
Yeah, like you look like you could be her sister. Yeah, and you're not getting the same kind of like stern motherly effect out of it when you're saying it type of thing. And so
that makes sense.
Yeah. And then Leslie Adlam, she performed it. She said line and it was a, perfect.
Yeah.
This is great.
She's great. She's amazing. Yeah, man, I can't say enough nice words about this.
Thank you.
You can kill it.
So excited.
Everybody's going to check it out on Crave. Yes. It's just on Crave, right?
Yes. Only on Crave. First three episodes drop on Friday and then the last three episodes drop on the 20th and then we should all flood Crave platforms to tell them we want
damn straight
season two.
You know what I did notice though? Like, well, I didn't notice if they said Toronto or not, but it felt Toronto without actually having to say it.
Yeah, it was one of those, like, I mean, I think could we show it better than we could tell it, like, that we were in the city and feeling that vibe? And, like, I really wanted to show the experience of, like, because I think someone asked earlier, like, it's always about Toronto, but, like, it's a whole thing, the migration of, like, the suburban adjacent in the GTA wanting to come downtown. Like, cough, cough, Liberty Village, right? That's the entire population over there is a lot of that. And so I really wanted to see that through the eyes of someone who grew up in the suburbs and doesn't knows of the city, is goes to the city, but hasn't ever actually lived there and been down there themselves, so that we could also further explore Toronto with her.
Yeah.
Like, you know, as the show goes on.
Yeah. So, that's amazing. That's amazing. And I love that it's not forced down your throat either, too.
The one that she went to university with when she was in the office.
Yes,
Instagram was like, go on bridal path or something like
that.
Yes.
With the Adele Bantu knots.
Yes, I was dying. G on the bridal path. Yeah, there's a lot of like hidden things like that if you're like, if you know from the city. But yeah, bridal path being her last name should tell you everything.
I was dying. I love it. There's very few times where we get an opportunity like this where we can actually show up with numbers and help a project like this. So I really do encourage people to check it out.
Yes.
Make sure you guys do.
Yes, do.
Ratings on IMDb. Where do you?
Yeah, we'll take wherever you can rate.
Wherever you can rate. Make sure you guys follow them on Instagram. Bria Mack Gets a Life.
Yes, yes, yes,
and
share
thank
with
you
a
so
friend.
Much.
Yeah, tell a friend
you
to tell a friend. You know,
this was super fun.
So happy you're here. Congratulations.
Amazing.
You know, very happy.
Thank you guys for tuning in again. I'm Marlon.
I'm Norm.
I'm Leisha.
And that was the Extra Gravy. Skirt, skirt.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.